5.
I'm just trying to get my mind. First of all, I'm just trying to get my mind ready for this. It's the problem. Because like when I'm in a mood where it's like, what am I gonna say? It's not good. So just give me a second. Okay, go ahead.
4.
Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
3.
Go ahead.
2.
Just go through it, even if I say stop.
1.
1, 2, 3. Everybody is free to be themselves.
Oh.
And you need to climb the hill to see the do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, di, do, di, da. I just wrote that.
You couldn't figure out the song I was trying to.
Kalila does this, which, hey, Bob, you know this song? Hey, Bobby, this is in my head. You know this?
Hey.
And I'm like, what the fuck song is that? She always does that.
Well, you do the exact same thing
to me. I'm making up a song. When I hum next to you, I'm making up a song that I'm making up on the spot. And then you're like, oh, is that this song?
I want to give you one more shot.
Okay, go ahead.
To figure it out.
Can you do it for us so we can try to figure it out?
Do you need to read my lips or do I need to face everyone?
Or just do the doot-doot-doot-doot part.
Yeah. It goes like this. It's an 80s song. I think it's an OMD song, Orchestral Maneuvers of the Dark, but it goes.
We
like
know
this.
What OMD is.
Okay.
God.
But for Gilbert, who's very young,
you don't know
born,
what you don't know what OMD stands for.
I don't know what it is.
Say it again. What does OMD stand for?
I said I don't know what it is.
She just said it, so go tell me what it is.
OMD.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Have you heard of the band?
No, I've never heard of the band.
You never heard of the band OMD.
I've never heard of the band OMD.
You've heard songs though.
If you had to play it, that's the only way I'd know.
Oh my God. They have like 12 huge songs.
Huge. You know it.
I don't want to look at it. I want to hear you hum it first.
We'll sing an OMD song that
he
would
know. This
is
a more obscure one.
Okay.
OMD is, if you leave, I won't hunt. I won't waste one single day.
I've never heard that. I'm telling you right now.
Tesla girls. You know that one?
No.
What's this? Hold on.
I never heard of this band.
No, you got to be
telling you. Even on radio,
from
I don't.
Breakfast Club.
No.
Is it the end song?
No.
The last song.
No,
I won't mind.
This is right now blowing my mind. Right now,
day.
This is blowing my mind.
I've never heard of the band.
Now the tune's out of my head.
No, sing the tune, babe.
No, hold on. Okay, I gotta sing it before you play another song because it's gonna disappear.
Oh, right.
But it's an OMD song, I'm sure. I just don't know the. I think.
You can't play the music on this because, right? It'll get feel.
No, you're good.
It'll be tagged or something. Is that what the deal is? Anyway, that's OMD, and it stands Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark.
Also, by the way, it wasn't Breakfast Club. It was Pretty in Pink. That if you leave.
Pretty in Pink.
Yeah. Right, do this tune now.
Oh God! Now there's too many. Okay, he goes. Okay, here we go. I only know four notes. Are they called?
Do
notes?
The tune.
He goes.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know what it is.
Do you know it now?
What is it?
I already know it. It's OMD.
It is OMD?
Yeah, it's what's a good it? But there's a lyric. It's not an instrumental. There is
no,
lyrics
but the
to
beginning
it.
Of
yeah,
the
there
song.
Is lyrics to it.
But that's the mode. The
and the vocal goes. Na 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 na.
Yes.
Na 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 na. Na 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 na. Na
na na na. Yeah. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then he goes back to. Oh my God,
but
you got
it! You did it earlier, though.
I did.
The earlier today, you were like,
that's so different than what you just did.
Earlier today, you were like, hey, do you know this song? I'm like, no, I don't know that song. If you would have done that, I would have been like,
I have to find it. I have to find it. I'm so sorry, but you're gonna have to fucking wait until I find this OMD. You sure it's OMD?
Swear to God. Yeah. Earlier today, and I was like, I don't know that song, but it's crazy that she does that. You know.
Oh, I know what it is.
Yeah. That's what she said earlier.
Do we
I
have
can
to
hear
cut
it.
All of this out, George?
No, I can hear it. Oh, man.
You have to take all of it out?
Well, all the songs, or else YouTube will flag.
Ah, bastards.
Really?
Dude, yeah. YouTube is changing, man. It's crazy.
Even that little clip, they'll flag it.
I think anything over 10 seconds.
Okay, well,
that wasn't 10 seconds. Well, look, yeah.
We'll shorten it to like.
You should have done that beginning part then.
I fucked up.
You fucked up.
I'll take out the beginning of it.
I wasted time.
Yeah, but that's not even a part of the song. That's like ambient, like air. Yeah.
Oh, they'll catch it.
Wow.
Wow. YouTube is a wow.
Can't have no fun with the music.
Soviet times now.
Thanks for the sponsor.
Anyway, thanks for, you know, what else? So I called David so earlier. That's why I asked for his number.
Oh, wow.
Because I don't know what's going on.
Okay? With what?
Well, yesterday, DDK and some other Chinamen.
Daniel Wu?
Yeah, him.
Okay.
And you knew when I said Chinaman, you knew who it was.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
So, fantastic actor.
Actor and martial artist, yeah.
Anyway, they did a 25,000, you know, reward for anyone that can inform somebody about something, but I don't know what it is.
Do you think it's a positive thing?
What is going on? And then David So today posted something on Instagram similar to that, saying,
I think you're the only Asian who
I know. That's why I'm asking. That's why I didn't want to Google anything and look it up, because I want to bring it up here on the podcast.
Why wouldn't you want to Google it?
But you know now.
I don't know now. I know that. So David, when I saw David So's thing, I don't know, he was in his car. You know how when he gets serious, it's like, it's a bummer. Like when David So gets serious, it's like, all right.
When the chubby cheeks turn into like piercing.
No, but he just like, he looks, you know, he does his fingers like this and he goes, yo man, you know, let you guys know this is wrong. And, you know, and it's like, just do the laughs, you fucking idiot. But anyway, called him. He didn't even fucking pick up his fucking phone, this piece of shit. But apparently, Chinese people are getting beaten up in the streets.
Not just Chinese.
Old people.
Targeted attacks.
Asian.
On their eyes.
So then I went back to the Daniel Day Kim thing, and then they're putting it up a war to find somebody who beat up another Chinaman.
Have you seen any of the videos?
No.
They're horrible.
One guy, old man, walking down the street.
He was going on his morning walk.
Some man, another man behind him, shoves him to the ground, or hits him in the head. Shoves him to the ground and then walks away.
You talking about this one?
This is brutal. Oh,
that one.
Did they find this guy?
I'm not sure, Claude. Do you know if they found him?
I know they got the one in Oakland that hurt the 85, that killed the 84-year-old. Watch.
Let me ask you
watch,
something.
Watch. Oh, and that person died.
Oh my God. Why are they Family doing death. This?
That person died.
Why are they doing this?
You know what bothers
oh,
me?
Oh, this is the one in Oakland.
Yeah.
Yeah, why are they doing it though?
So this it's apparently there's a rise in targeted attacks on Asians since the whole, you know, anti-Asian rhetoric during the pandemic.
Yeah. Here's
that's that man. Look at that.
Oh my God, that's me 30 years from now.
Here's my, I think that kind of bothered me a little bit was just the headlines that I'm seeing, which is like, family of 84-year-old killed in SF believe attack was racially motivated.
Yeah.
It's interesting for me, like, it's always been a thing with Asians because there's so many different things happening right now where it's like the immediate answer is, yeah, that was racially motivated. Like it wasn't a direct thing to that. It's always like, well, let's see first with the Asians. It's because we're so...
Right.
I don't think we're as unified in groups to speak up as much. So it's a little... And I feel people feel a little guilty too. Like I was talking Clubhouse, just listening to a conversation. There has been like kind of proposed ideas of like, there are some people or Asians, younger Asians that feel like they... don't want to feel like they're not fighting for the anti-blackness first.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like conflicted of like, where do we put my energy? Do I take care of my community first? Or does the anti-blackness help solve everything? Like in terms of more movement sense. So like people are just like, I feel there's no unification of like, this is fucked up. We should just like...
Whatever it is.
Well, whatever it is, the real thing is we are relying on race way too much in instances like this. It's like, you know... This is an elderly man who's a human being. He's a grandfather. He's innocent. He's just walking down the fucking street, right? And he was straight up murdered in fucking broad daylight, okay? It shouldn't be a racial situation.
But if the police chief is saying that there has been a rise, we should...
No, I know that there's been a rise. Mm-hmm. Inevitably, even before the violence even took place... When once, you know, Trump politicized, I know he's out of office and I know you don't like me bringing it up, but once he started calling it Kung Flu and, you know, as soon as that rhetoric was coming out of him, you just kind of knew in your gut that there was going to be repercussions and people like, because the insane things that people think now, just based on whatever that administration was trying to put out there is insane. Obviously, you know, there was an insurrection, right, from his rhetoric, you know. Mm-hmm. So obviously there's going to be violence toward Asians, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it just makes me so mad, and I don't even know why I brought it up.
Well, Daniel Day Kim hit you up? What was he asking? Or
he wasn't asking me.
Oh.
They never. That's another thing that makes me mad is nobody asks me.
Do you think that? Okay, here's
is that another thing.
That's the real rage.
The real rage is that when like these, you know, when our people are being, you know, attacked, you know, or when there's some sort of political issue that needs mm-hmm. to be, you know, there needs to be a voice. They never ask for my voice because my voice is not good.
Well, that's because earlier you said you didn't even want to Google it.
What? I know, because I didn't want to Google it because I wanted to learn while we were doing this podcast.
There are far more reliable resources and sources than just me and Gilbert.
I don't even know right now if we can even air any of this.
Oh, yeah, we can. Come on, let's move.
This is hot.
No, yeah. Honestly, because I sound like a fucking idiot.
Or you sound revolutionary.
I don't sound revolutionary. Let it play out.
Let history take its course.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't sound revolutionary. I sound ignorant.
You have the hair thing, though. Like,
and I sound ignorant, you know, and I sound... like, I don't know. I'm grasping for words.
Really quick, can I just... Have you seen the show Bridgerton yet?
Yeah, of course.
I saw a couple episodes.
You look like an Asian in Bridgerton.
He looks like the queen.
It's legit. By the way, I watch...
Is she half Asian, the queen?
Kind of. She looks Asian. She looks Southeast, for sure.
Yeah.
I watched In and of Itself, because you guys recommended it.
Yeah.
Watched earlier today just to watch it.
Yeah.
And I cried 2 p.m. Hmm.
Did you really?
I cried, and I kept, like... Keep going, like
yeah.
I wasn't sobbing, but I was fighting back tears because there was something about I don't know how he was able to translate live theater onto a fucking screen.
Yeah,
but I was like, shit. I feel like I was in the audience.
Yeah,
and
if you watch it, it's not just one night. They shot a week worth because it's different audience members. So he's just wearing the same clothing, so that helps. Number two, Frank Oz directed it. Mm-hmm. You know, who's like, you know, a legitimate director.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, Stephen Colbert produced it. So you're going to get, you know, it's one of those kind of shows where you can go, we could shoot it as long as we need.
There was one part of it that took me out, though. And that was when it, same thing that took you out.
It took me out.
You saw Bill Gates in the crowd.
Oh, that, I had to pause for a second. I was like, is the leader Bill Gates?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And instead of saying leader, say billionaire. I would have said billionaire.
Yeah.
Billionaire, sit down. What are you doing here?
That's what I think. Larry Wilmore was in the audience too. And that.
Oh yeah, so was Questlove.
I was like, who are all these celebrities?
Yeah, but I would have known. That's another thing I'm mad audience? About.
Like, I would have laughed.
Another thing I'm mad about. I don't even know. See, that's where you're supposed to be.
He did 521 shows.
I know. I'm not even aware of any of them.
If you were in that audience, that would have destroyed.
No, but somebody should have called me a year ago. I'm sure this happened a year ago and said, "There's a great one man show in New York, right?" It's kind of life altering and changing. You should go. But no one ever calls me about that either. No one calls me about, you know, social justice stuff or fucking one man shows, man.
Is that your brand though?
It drives me crazy. In fact, if I think about it, no one calls me about anything.
Do you think that's a racial attack?
What?
Do you think that's a racial attack?
I think that's a racial attack. I mean, I was being shoved. I'm being shoved by people.
Metaphorically.
Let's say it metaphorically, please.
You know?
Please say metaphorically.
I am.
Please say it. Please.
I am metaphorically. So,
I have a question for you.
Yeah. Your soup was the best.
Remember when God shoved you outside of a Super Bowl Jeep?
Yeah, I remember that. And I
Wait, who shoved him?
Oh, yeah. I got shoved also at Tulum.
Yeah, no, because we've told the story in like an earlier podcast, but I had to retell it to Annie today.
Yeah.
When I was FaceTiming with her, and we could not stop laughing about it.
Or what my brother said to me. Was it my brother when I was in Tulum and I fell on the fucking concrete?
The pig.
And you're like a fat pig slapping your body on concrete or whatever. And it was just like, and I was in pain. I was in the wind knocked out of me.
Yeah.
Right, and I'm embarrassed too, and it's raining too, correct? So I'm wet.
Yeah.
And my brother saying it that way, that still in my head.
Yeah.
Like every once a week, that'll play in my head.
Do you know that you always talk about God shots?
Yeah.
And those moments where you're like, oh, maybe there is a God. Outside of Sutbul Jeep is when I maybe considered leaving atheism. It's because you couldn't stop just going on and on to your brother and I. You were like, come on, guys, think about it. If you really think about it, I am the Korean Elvis.
I never
like,
say
if you
that.
Think about
you
all
did,
the
why would I say
history,
that? That's ridiculous. You did why would a human being? Why, you were there?
She's told the story in depth.
Yeah, but she could be a fibber.
Oh, a fibber. I like that.
Yeah?
Pretty good word.
You guys, really, think about it. Okay, think about all the Asians. You started naming all the Asians. Like, of all of them, wouldn't you say...
I was kidding, obviously.
And we were, we were eating Korean barbecue for a whole hour. He was giving his deposition. Yeah. And he was talking about how all the reasons why he's Korean Elvis. And as we were walking towards the parking lot, he still was talking about how he was Korean Elvis. And there was like a chain link that he didn't see in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And in the middle of his sentence, God struck him down. As in the middle of saying Korean Elvis, he trips over the chain link.
Yeah.
And he doesn't just land. He flies. He catapults into the air.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he plops into his pot belly.
Uh-huh.
And then he maybe like spins around a couple times. That's and fine. In that moment, I thought, oh, George, I laughed so hard. It took me an hour to peel my body off of that Koreatown cement. Mm-hmm. Every time I thought I could maybe sit up and maybe take a breath, I would fall back down because I was laughing so hard. Mm-hmm. God shot.
Mm-hmm. Who would be considered the Korean Elvis?
Not me.
Okay, let's... Okay.
Yeah, I would say the Korean Elvis.
Modern day, yeah.
Modern day Korean Elvis would be probably... BLM,
movement.
BSK. What are they called?
The movement BLM.
No. What's the
Korean? Oh, BTS.
No one calls you about social justice.
Yeah.
Or what is it? The other thing,
dude.
One man shows. Uh-huh.
Dope. I can't. The hot. Oh,
BTS, babe.
BTS. Can we go back to the soups or?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We can't reveal it because it's going to be on our Patreon, but we can sort of talk about it.
Did you tell him who made the soups beforehand?
No.
Oh, but he knew which one mine was and he retaliated.
All right, so
retaliated?
He did something.
I did something, but it was revenge.
And I cried.
I'm going to tell you what the revenge is.
Oh man.
She cried and I feel bad about it and you know what? I'm a piece of shit. Let's just throw that out there, you know? And no wonder people don't call me about things, okay? So we had a soup competition last night.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was a tiger belly.
Was that fresh or was it canned?
No, we all had to make it.
I didn't know that you could cook.
Gilbert,
have you
cook?
Seen my hips?
Okay, that's congratulations.
My hips.
You're a hipster. And then George can cook, obviously.
Don't give the results.
I'm not going to, all right? Already, just by visually, I could probably, I got it right.
You got it right, just visually.
Just visually.
I can tell George is visually.
Yeah. And
George did
so Americana. Let's go back. Let's go back a little bit. So let's go back maybe a couple of days.
Well,
I need to go back.
This goes deep.
Goes deep. So Friday... So Friday, I'm up for a movie right now and I'm paranoid about my acting skills. Yeah, I just get that way, you know? And so Friday night, I don't watch Magnum PI, but my cousin Eddie, my friend Bess Hanley from New York, and Eric Stone Street, they just happened to watch it. I don't know why. I didn't tell them to watch it. And they all texted me saying, great job. In fact, Eric said he's something extra, is saying, you know, great job. And I would know I won an Emmy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he sent me a photo with him and an Emmy.
Classic.
Which made me laugh. Okay.
That's good.
So then, so I go, oh, you know, let me see it. So I go on Instagram and you know how people... tag you on stories and stuff, obviously, right? And then so there were some clips that people had tagged me in, that some scenes of Magnum.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched them, and you know, for me to watch, because I can see all the imperfections.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's me rolling my eyes. Whenever I roll my eyes, I'm trying to remember a line.
Don't reveal
it. So if you're in a, I know, I'm just going to reveal it. Right? So what, right? When you're watching me act and I'm rolling my eyes, it's me going, what's the line? And then here's a second thing that I do. When I look away, I do it for dramatic effect, but it's just so amateurish. So I'll be in a scene and I'll have a conversation with you. And I'm like, yeah, you know, Olin, I just, you know, and I'll just do this. I'll look away. You know what I mean? Because I think that that's natural or something, but it looks amateurish. But, so I'm watching some scenes and I go, I'm trying to convince myself it's good. I go, yeah, that's a real good moment. So I go, Kalila, right? Kalila, look at these scenes. So I show her a scene and she's, and when she.
Well, no, first, this is what I said. Please do not show me anything. I am not an acting coach.
No, you said that afterwards.
The reason I said it afterwards is over the years I have begged him.
I know.
It's because it's when you know someone so well, it's hard to kind of see them objectively if they're good in an acting.
So I look, so I give her the, so we watch it, and when she doesn't like something, she does this. Like she's trying to smile, but it's not fully.
Yeah.
And I could see her fucking wheels turning.
That's my favorite Kalila.
Right? So she's just like, you know what I mean? And then she sees a scene and she goes, it's pretty good. Something like that. And I go, well, you didn't like, I already knew she didn't like it. And she's like, it's okay. That's what she said. It's okay. And I go, oh yeah, it's okay, right? And she's like, yeah, I mean, you've done so much better before.
But that's also like,
you know, that these are all like, you know, it's masking, right? It's like what she's, these are things that to make me, so in my head, I'm like, these are the words she's saying to ease, you know what I mean? My pain, right? Imagine what she really feels.
That's not true.
Really feels is it's fucking terrible. What, did they only let you do one take?
That's, you know why I mean? Would you put those words
in? I'm just saying
mouth?
That's in my head, right?
That's on you. Yeah,
but that's not on me.
I know.
First of all, I didn't say it was okay. I was like, look, I've seen you knock it out of the park, and I've also seen you do really bad. I was like, this is good. This is good, but it's not okay. Your best.
Yeah.
He hears it differently, and for the rest of the day, he is not that nice to me.
Right. I'm doing these things. I'm doing, like, I curl up in a ball. Like, I'll literally go in a fetal position.
Yeah.
On a couch. And I'll just lay there for hours and just think. It's terrible.
I have begged him not to put that type of responsibility on me.
She did that to me one time before. I was on the road, right?
See, he remembers it because it really affects him. That's why I said, I do not ask me because...
I know. Can I just say this, though?
I'm too close to you to give you... And also, I'm not a fucking acting expert. I don't know anything.
So I was on the road when the first episode of Love, you know what I mean, was being... that was on Netflix. And
yeah.
And I remember this. So I get a text from Paul Rust or somebody going, dude, that scene is so real. Thank you so much. You know what I mean? What a great scene. I think maybe David King or somebody just had texted me. So I felt pretty good about it. She saw it and she goes, yeah, it's not good. And I remember being, because it was next to a comedy club and there was a movie theater in between. So I was up against this like alleyway where there was like a weird like movie poster, you know, with the lights around it, right? And I was underneath it, crouched like this with my cell phone. And she's like, yeah, it's just not good. You got to take acting classes or whatever. You know what I mean? And it's like, you're not in the scene, whatever. And I just remember going, I'm going to kill myself.
Why would you listen to me over?
But that's
Paul
what I love
Rust.
About her, because she's, I don't like, you know, I guess previous girlfriends that I would have, right, would have said everything that I did was good just to make me feel better. So nothing felt authentic. So when she says it's good, I just know she's being honest, right? So this is, I guess, at the end of the day, what I want out of her, right? But still, it's very difficult.
Why did you retaliate on my soup?
So what was
anyway,
the retaliation?
Now cut to the soup competition.
3 days after.
Three days afterwards.
This is 3 days.
Magnum
PI. Yeah.
Dude.
Magnum revenge.
Oh my God.
So I'm sitting there and I know which one's hers. Mm-hmm. The reason being is before even tasting it is because there's freshly sprinkled bacon.
But also I have made this soup over the years and I know that he loves this soup.
I love
smart,
this soup.
Smart move.
So it's, you know, none of you guys had, none of your soups had freshly stuff, fresh stuff on it. She had put this beautiful bacon bits on top of it. Right?
Sounds good.
So I already knew. And I also have had a soup before, so I know what it looks like. So it, before even testing, I go, that one's last place.
You're such an asshole. And she worked.
In my head, she worked all day
and
on
she
it.
Put toppings on it?
I know. In my head, I'm looking at the soup and I'm like,
come on.
For sure, last place. Before even tasting it.
Yeah.
So I went to, I don't want to give it away. So I went to all the soups.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know now hers is the last place.
Yeah.
So I, you know, ate all of your soups, right? And I said incredible things about your soups, even though I hated it.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah, yeah. I go, this one's a masterful class, or whatever I said, right? And then I went to hers. I said, it's bland. You know what I mean?
I mean, the words that he used to describe my
soul crushing
was soul crushing. As somebody who likes to, you guys, I don't just, soup is my thing. Like, I have an immersion blender that I got from my birthday that I've wanted for years because I like making soups. So when he said that, oh my God. And I was sitting there, I'm like, I'm not fragile. Take the hit, Kalila. I'm not fragile.
Yeah.
So I just nodded and smiled. I'm like, this is okay. I can take this.
Did you know what he was doing in the moment?
But later on, I asked him, oh, when I fell asleep, all I heard was the fridge open and him pouring a big fucking thing of soup, of my soup that I made.
I ate a whole fucking gigantic jar of her soup already.
And then afterwards, he was like, I'm so sorry. That was really fucked up. And I'm still really angry about the Magnum PI thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All that.
Because you have, because.
But go watch the soup challenge on Patreon.
Yeah. Patreon.com/Tiger.
You'll watch the Patreon and then also don't watch the Magnum from last Friday. But although, can I be honest with you? I mean, I'm getting a lot of good responses from it, so I don't know what to believe.
They believe them. Believe the directors. Believe everybody who you worked with. Trust them. Mm-hmm. I'm too close to you.
Yeah.
I'm not, I can't see.
Yeah. But now, with all that being said, right, because I'm now analyzing this whole story that we just talked about with the soup and the Magnum PI, and now I'm stepping back from it and analyzing it and looking at it, right? It makes me sound like a really bad person. No, if I step back from it, I just analyze it. I'm being real,
I know you are.
So I'm like, this is unlikable, right? This is, what is wrong with this person?
It won't test.
You know
what I mean? Does not test.
So is this who I am?
You have to ask yourself that.
No, I'm asking you.
A bad person? No.
Yeah,
no.
Does this make me a, what about you, if George?
Okay, go ahead, George.
Oh no, it made me super happy because I was like, at least my soup didn't get last place.
So no one's,
you fucking narcissistic fuck.
That was your whole
thing
from
it.
That's
your whole fucking thing. Take away from it. I'm asking you a question. What does it look, it doesn't make me look weird.
I've just been feeling great this whole time ever since I learned I didn't get last place. So I've kind of been like floating on cloud.
Oh, okay. How about you?
My assessment of this is you did a great analysis of yourself. And you even called yourself out right now. I don't think there's a moral landscape to this per se, but I would maybe use the standard of how your partner feels from the actions as maybe a barometer. So I point the question back to you.
Mm. I think I saw a movie once, either Woody Allen movie or one movie where, you know, it's a couple, one of them had written a script, the other one had read it.
Okay.
And then it was giving the other guy the other partner feedback, and it's just being honest and saying it's not good, right? So I just think that, you know, that's, you know, her looking at some of my work and saying that it's not good at all, right, is healthy, right?
No, that is. This is literally.
Yeah, as long as I'm not an asshole about it. Like, there is a line, though.
Putting your soup last place is not healthy.
No, it's not that I didn't care if I came in third, but you went on to trash the soup.
Yeah.
You spent 10
because
minutes
I needed to get some
calling
form
it
of
all
revenge.
Sorts of names.
Right, so that's the.
The revenge so I part.
When I step up, when I step away from the story
again,
right, and I look at that part of it, right, it makes me go, "Oh, that's weird."
And so this is my, of course, me because I'm like, "Don't be fragile, Kalila. Don't be fragile. Yeah. You can take a loss because you know me and competition does not go.
You're
hand
very
in
competitive,
hand.
Yeah.
And but then I'm like, look, like we all the soups were delicious. Third place is fine. So I was sitting there. I was like, and I was crying because, and he was right there. I was like, it's not, I'm okay with third place. It's just,
That's Vegas, what I call it.
That's the nail.
You call it Vegas buffet quality, and then I just could not. I called everyone about
I'm mean.
It. Because he goes and be like, oh yeah, this is the shit that they feed like fucking pigs, you know? Like he just goes on and on.
Yes and. Yeah. Yes and.
Yeah. So if I'm looking back at the whole thing now, it's just something to improve on, I guess. You know, it's not to retaliate in that way. And then maybe I should have, let's just analyze it. Maybe I should have, when she was giving me some acting notes, and go and say, I heard what you said. It still hurts my feelings. Because I don't express myself, right, in those situations. What I absorb it, right? I keep quiet about it. And then I just kind of, you know.
Comes out in different ways.
No, but also I just think about it and I sit in it. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? Like a pool, a cesspool.
But
right?
You probably only feel defensive when the critique is about acting. Because I feel like she says other things and you're like, whatever. Because I feel like.
Yeah, it's very he's
specific
it's
to acting.
Yeah, acting. Yeah, I'll tell you why acting is. I'm sensitive about it, because you know, number one, that's not the school that I came from, right? It's like, you know, I started at dirty comedy clubs and I wrote jokes and I performed, right? And then all of a sudden, you come to LA and then it's like, you know, you can do this. You know, here's an opportunity. And I love watching movies and I love TV shows. And I've always loved both those, not genres, but what do you call it? Mediums, right? And so I go, you know, so when I started doing it, you know, and auditioning the whole thing, right? You know, the whole time, like when you're doing a scene with a real credible person, right? Like, I hate to bring this up, but like when I was doing it with, I did it with Ben Kingsley once, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. In The Dictator. Mm-hmm. So when you're, and I love Ben Kingsley, right? He was in Gandhi, right? He was in Sexy Beast, one of my favorite movies.
Oh my God, such a good movie.
One of my favorite movies. He's like he's a fucking amazing actor. One of the best in the world, right? And I'm now in a scene with him, right? And you the things that go through my mind is like, oh my God, the one thing that goes through my mind is, he knows. He sees through me. Like, those are just things that I think about.
Yeah.
Like, he knows I'm not an actor. You know what I mean? And it's like, and I don't know if it's stuff that I have to work out in therapy, you know? And, you know, but you know what? Ultimately, what ends up happening is just do your job. You know, to shut my brain down, I just do it. Yeah. So I do it. And, you know, and it's always fine. And, you know, I fly back to LA or whatever. And, you know. It's a good response and whatever it might be, you know what I mean? So it's generally good, but still I go through like this fucking, I torture myself.
Well, you're going to keep doing it anyway, right?
That's what she says.
Like, so it's like, if this is something that you're going to do for the rest of your life, you're going to commit to the idea that you're going to nail some and you're going to lose some.
Also, I've done it a lot.
Yeah.
It's not like I've done it one time. I've done it hundreds and hundreds of times.
So it's like
in legitimate things. So it's like
you're gonna show up, you're gonna do your best, yeah. And that's all.
But I'm just not gonna go check this out to my girlfriend.
And that's probably the best.
I think that's the best thing.
Thing moving forward.
Yeah, from now
but
on.
This is where I get a little sensitive, is because when I'm like working on stuff and like I feel really passionate about it and I really am in need of good critique. Like I'm like, how can this be better? How can this He is like, it's so good. It's so good. It's going to make it. You're going to sell it. You're going to do this. And I hate that. I'm just like, no, I need you to literally pick it apart. And I see that as more dismissive. I don't want to take the time to.
No.
To
now you're going to make me, you're making me angry.
No, but that's how I take it.
I'm going to tell you the honest truth of it. Okay.
Yeah.
It's, you know, when, like, I've had girlfriends where they said, I've had some that were just regular people that said, I want to be an actress, right? And you go, oh, and then you want to be like, so you go, you try to help them, right? But it's like, it only goes to a point, right? My help, right? It's like, I just verbally say it. But with
quickly,
but with you,
go
ahead, what?
I'm going to defend all your ex-girlfriends, though, before you say that. I'm going to go ahead and assume they didn't just say, I want to become an actress. Because when I first met you, the one thing that in the first 3 months you would do when you were still love bombing me is you would make such a good a stand-up comic. You would be such a great actress. Why don't you do commercials? Why don't you do this? And you put all these ideas in people's heads. And they, you really feel that, like, oh, my God, this person really believes in me. So if I were to call Christine or if I were to call your exes, I can promise you they didn't just wake up and say, I'm going to be an actress.
This might not be arable here. Here we go.
You put that shit in their head. Here we go. Is that true?
Okay, just sit back down, George.
Tell the truth, George.
Sit back down, George.
Not George, Bobby.
Sit back down, George. George, tell the truth about Bobby.
Tell the truth, Bobby.
Okay, so let's now let's get to the real. This is where it's going to stop getting funny, and this is going to start. It's going to
the
start
real
getting,
world.
This is the real world. Okay,
Los Angeles.
Here we go. You're absolutely correct. Okay. No, let me explain myself though. Okay. All right, and now we're going down a shameful past and a shameful history.
Don't let it be shameful.
It is shameful.
Just explore.
I am exploring with my words. Okay? So here it is. Okay. how do we get to? Okay, so yes, there. I was always a guy that was so. I had a difficult time meeting women and getting women to like me, especially in my 20s, okay? I would beg. There were times where I would beg, and I'm ashamed of it. Because I was always kind of like little, right? And a little, you know what I mean, quirky and, you know, eccentric, you know, in just in terms of, you know me. I giggle when I'm not supposed to. I'm just a weird guy, energy-wise, right? So when I was young, you know, I would like, you know, do everything I could so that I can get somebody to like me, right? And when I got this is so embarrassing. And we might have to cut this part out. This is so embarrassing. So there was this waitress, I've never said this before. And this is so shameful. But there was this waitress named Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a waitress at the La Jolla Comedy Store. Mm-hmm. Then she was cute. And she moved to L.A.
Yeah.
And I think she liked me. I don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she started hanging out with me. And this is when I started making money, right? And I would bombard her with gifts.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, I can buy you shoes. I can buy you whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
She had already liked me, right? But it got to the point where she's like, we were in the car and she goes, you know, I'm beginning to think that you think I'm a prostitute and like, I'm not a whore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? What the fuck are you doing? And she starts screaming at me.
Yeah.
Right? You can't fucking buy my love, you piece of shit. And I never saw her again.
Yeah.
I literally never saw her again. Right? And then, so I would do that. And I also would do mm-hmm. stuff like, you know, feed into somebody's like, you know what I mean?
Blow smoke up their ass.
Yeah, blow smoke up their ass. Mm-hmm. Right? So, those are two things that I did because of, you know, I just didn't have the skills or tools or the self-esteem.
To believe that somebody would like me
for who I was. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm. Okay, so, and as I get older, I don't care as much. So I feel like that helps, you know what I mean? Mm. You know, I really don't care as much at all almost, you know? So it's like... but yeah, it is something that I do and I did, and I'm ashamed of it.
I think that's really kind of relatable, terrible. Probably.
It's terrible.
That's so relatable. And I have the same story as that girl when just being like gifted so many things. My very, very first boyfriend did the same thing. Like he tried to buy my family's love because he was realizing that I was, mind you, I was only 13 years old. He was way older. It was so inappropriate. He was like 18. But he came from like a really wealthy family. And he would, every time he could feel me sort of like, hey, I don't want to have a boyfriend. Like, I'm really young. He could feel me pull away. He would show up to the house with just like cartons of mango. like because, but mango is like, you know, especially when it's in season, it's like there's no better gift. And he would take all my cousins. We all live in the same house. He would take my cousins on joy rides. He would bring his fancy American cars. At that time, like the Jeep Cherokee was like not, he owned the only Jeep Cherokee on the island.
Wow.
Ooh.
And he would have my cousins joy ride. And everyone would be like, Kala, you can't break up with him. He's like the nicest guy ever. And that's when I was like, oh, this guy is really trying to buy my affection. And I was so, I got the ick after that. When you get the ick, there's no coming back from the ick.
Yeah.
There's nothing he could have bought or done for me that could have solved my ick for him. I was out. I was like, this is disgusting. I need to get out. And my family did not speak to me for a long time. You're like, you fucked up a good thing. And I'm like, I'm 13.
Wow.
How are you guys not seeing this? I mean, very, very dysfunctional. But
yeah. Yeah. Although I have to say, when I was dating Sarah Hyland, not the one from Modern Family, there's a comedian version of her, Sarah Hyland, yeah, who's very funny.
The funnier version.
She also auditioned for SNL, right? But
yeah,
when Sarah would ask for things and stuff, it was easy for me to go, yeah, I'll help you, because I just knew, right, that she had everything that it took.
Mm-hmm. She's
know,
talented. To make,
she's a really talented, funny girl. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So there are times, but there are times where, you mean, especially in the beginning, I would do things to get somebody to like me, you know what I mean? And I, but now looking back at my behavior, I'm shameful at it. And this, you know, this whole episode is shameful. This whole podcast, it's a lot of my character defects are glaring in front of me.
No, those are things you've had to work through, and you've grown up. You don't do that anymore.
I know.
But let's get back to you not giving me proper critique. I'm somebody, in order for me to believe that you're actually caring about what I'm doing, I need you to point out where I need to improve. And you don't do that. You're just like, it's so good, get out of my face.
That's fun.
You know what I mean?
Okay, the particular thing that you were working on, right? Yeah. I 100% read it. I love it. And I literally think that it's going to be a thing. I don't know how else I have to tell you that. There is no other way to do it. And there are other people interested in it. And why I know it's going to be a thing is because other people, you know what I mean, including people that I believe in, you know, that work for me personally in my own business, right, is going, no, this thing is great. Right. So that's how I fucking know. So I don't know what else I have to tell you about it. It's great. And I'm telling you that out loud. It's great. And it's going to be a thing. OK, so that's it. Don't mark that. Please don't mark that. Don't mark that. I'm going to listen to this one. That's got to be in it. All right.
Got that,
it's fucking great.
I know, but then now I just sounded like I was really fishing for a compliment.
Yeah, but this whole thing is making me sound weird.
Thing like me,
I know, I know. This whole episode, all the things that we're talking about, I'm like, it, oh my God, I sound so fucking fucked up.
I keep looking over at George.
Like, if we're going to keep my shit in there, we're keeping your shit in there too. All right, I know. So either we do this over again,
oh, man,
or we keep going. You know what I mean?
The best part is every 2 seconds. As I take a step back, what just happened?
Yeah.
We're going too deep, babe.
What?
I said we're going too deep. I just honestly.
I've been feeling like this the whole fucking episode of like, I don't want that out there. Why am I saying that?
I know, but I now feel
don't
gross.
Mark anything.
I now feel gross for like forcing you I've to like say something nice.
I feel gross. What are you marking?
We're not marking. I just you guys are.
Speaking of both Kalila being famous and things that are weird.
Yeah.
I found a great article on Kalila online at Tuco. What is it? AR?
Tuco?
It's a very, they're a very well-known publication.
So they're
Kenya News. Oh, wait, this isn't...
It's from Kenya.
It's in Kenya?
Yeah, so just read through everything in this.
Oh, my God, I'm a heroin
addict. No, let's start at the top. Gilbert, we gotta read the whole thing.
Go ahead. Why don't you guys read it? The thing about being a podcast is pretty far-fetched, not too distant past. Right now, you have to admit that they have entered into the era of podcasting prominence as famous personalities are launching their own shows. So you were actually a famous celebrity before Tiger Belly. Just keep that in mind. When Bobby said you were a celebrity, you were. Kalila is one of the podcast hosts who's carved a niche for herself on YouTube. This what was this picture?
You guys, let's be clear.
Yeah.
Kalila Kuhn hitched her entire everything onto Bobby's wagon. And that's how I created a niche. I said, oh, Bobby's...
Wow.
Kalila rose to stardom when she started hosting a video podcast named Tiger Belly on YouTube. She became more famous when she got married to Bobby Lee, a famous actor. You are famous, a comedian. Oh man, the best is like all the information.
Oh, my age is wrong.
You gotta go through all of it, Gilbert. Read everything.
Read it, man.
My age is wrong.
I can't see it.
37.
Your birth date's wrong.
Birthday.
My height is wrong.
Is Bobby's your information correct? 5'6".
I'm not going to dispute that weight. That sounds pretty
I'm
good.
5'4".
55 kg.
My professional is social media personality, YouTuber.
That's you, Bobby. That's you're, my a YouTuber. Fucking, you're a YouTuber. You're a YouTuber.
Yeah, there she is again.
So I was born October 31st. So that is incorrect, right?
Incorrect.
Correct,
yeah.
Yes. And the name of her mother is Martel, which is crazy that they know that.
They know that. Yeah.
I think that's all like public info.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, she's born a family, an American father and a Filipino mother.
Yeah.
That's Tolstoy and Baltazar, my baby.
She grew up in her hometown in Cebu with her sister Juliana.
Jules is going to be so upset.
She's going to be angry. Later on, her family really got to the United States. She became American national for education role at Cebu International School. Later on, she went to college where she majored in biochemistry.
That's right.
When she was a child, Claudia dreamt of becoming a doctor one day. I don't know when you ever said any of this stuff. She was a child looking for wounded birds, chicks, and frogs.
That's on my Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, she started working as a tutor, teaching subjects like anatomy, physiology, microbiology.
That's correct.
Most of this is pretty correct, yeah. Village, right? All this. I just thought this was interesting right here.
That was the first time I ever did a podcast was that picture right after. Look how depressed I look.
This was what podcast?
That's DVD ASA. That was right. The first time I ever did it,
yeah,
that's how frightened I was.
Oh, no.
Oh.
That's sweet. Thank you, Tuco. Wait, Kalila Brendan Schaub issue?
The best part is this. Who is Kalila? Okay, Kalila's married. She's a married woman. She's married to her longtime boyfriend, Robert Young Lee Jr. Family is known as Bobby Lee. He is famous for his appearances in films such as Harold and Kumar, Go to White Castle, Pineapple Express, The Dictator, and many others. The couple met on Tinder and dated for several years. Here's where it gets great. The two first started by exchanging text messages before setting up a meeting. Unlike most celebrities, they chose not to publicize the relationship for reasons well known to them. Whatever that's well known to them.
Oh, on a second date, he posted pictures of my shiny tits, okay?
Yep. Bobby Lee and Kalila exchanged vows in August 2016 at a
You remember
New York
that, babe?
I do.
I told you I did that.
She and her husband do not have any kids, but they have several pets together. Oh, wow.
What's a Kalila Brendan Schaub issue?
In 2019.
Go ahead, Bobby. Brendan Schaub confessed that Kalila was beautiful and attractive, and he could not understand why she was attracted to Bobby. She texted Kalila on Twitter, and they talked about athletics. Bobby Lee became mistrustful of Brendan after he saw the text.
That never happened!
Where is all this? I don't know where this research is from.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you guys are on this, I guess, is it Kenyan?
Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting what's on the internet about you guys. People definitely think you guys are married, for sure. 100%.
Yeah, people say that.
Tuco.co.ke.
This is so funny.
Yeah, so you are a celebrity.
In Kenya. Thank the Lord.
They have really great journalism there.
Who would have thought?
2016. I don't even know what would have made them think you guys got married in New York. Oh, the wedding you went to.
No, that was last year. Only a year and a half ago. But you guys don't know what status Bobby and I are.
Oh, we don't. After that one episode, we have no idea.
Yeah, you'll never know.
You'll never
know.
So we have some videos that some people sent in. Not too many, but just telling a story from Valentine's Day, because Valentine's Day is coming up. And then you guys can just, like, I guess, choose who had, like, the most entertaining story. And they only had 90 seconds to share it.
Go.
Hey, Bobby, Kalila, George, Gilbert. So my story, Valentine's story, was the reason why I think I hate Valentine's Day. So I was like 22 years old, fell in love with this one girl, and I went to go buy her a watch with a diamond on it. And it was like the first diamond that I've ever bought in my life. So, you know, I'm all excited. I get to the store and, you know, I'm pretty jazzed about it. And then I come to find out on Valentine's Day when I give it to her that she cheated on me. Oh. And we broke up on Valentine's Day. So, and the worst part was that when I went back to the store to return it, and I was just like devastated. I went to go return it. And then the same lady that sold me the watch was person taking the return, and she was just like, oh, she didn't like it. And I was like bawling in front of this lady. But yeah, that was my Valentine's story.
I thought the story was gonna go, and the same lady said, no refunds.
Yeah. I told you,
yeah,
already.
I told you already. You know what I mean? No refund. Read the sign.
Stop crying.
Yeah. So, well, to me, that's a happy story because at least he got his money back.
Yeah.
Money back, and you
dodged
found out
a cheater.
Right. Dodged a cheater, yeah. Right? And that was a happy story.
Yeah.
Good ending.
Yeah.
Have any of you guys been
cheated on?
Deceived,
yes.
On Valentine's
Day? Wait, Bobby,
Day?
Have you ever been cheated on? I don't think he ever has. I don't think he's ever been dumped.
Or do you secretly think you are, so you immediately end the relationship yourself? Because you're like quick like that.
I don't think I care.
Oh, well, that's not good either. Not,
yeah, yeah.
I think you're supposed to care about the relationship you're in.
I don't think I would care.
Yeah, I don't think I would care.
We have been, him and I have been rejected a lot. But I don't think, I've been cheated on, but I've never been dumped.
Not on Valentine's Day.
Right,
we have one more.
Because if I would, no, this is back up. So let's think about a relationship I was in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, so one time I was dating this girl named Amy.
Mm-hmm.
And
poor George has to keep bleeping things.
and I was flying to Italy or something for something. Not Italy, France. To shoot an IBM commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was at a bar with a bunch of people and I turn around and I look down this alleyway and I see a guy holding Amy's hand and she's like pushing away and he's doing doing this.
Like along. Caressing
and
it.
She's like kind of like moving away from him like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought, I remember just feeling joy that it was over.
Oh.
Why, when she didn't do anything wrong?
But you could tell that she was with this guy.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Too.
Why did you feel joy?
I don't know. Let's go to the next video.
Okay. Let's Valentine.
Happy Valentine's Day. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Suppress it.
You're gonna dislike that I remember this story about you and her that you told me.
Okay, go ahead.
You were about to leave for France or Germany or wherever the hell that IBM commercial was.
Yeah.
And it was your final night together. And you went to dinner with your manager and your agent, and you didn't invite her, and she cried.
Okay, so here's what happened. Okay, this is the truth, and I'm so fucked the bum that you even remember that. So now I have to redo this story. So hold on a second, okay? So what happened was, I booked this IBM commercial, and I go, I'm gonna have a dinner with my agent and my manager. I didn't invite Amy, okay? Mm-hmm. Which was the wrong thing to do, right? And I wasn't leaving for another couple of weeks, right? So, and then 2 weeks later, right before I'm going to go, I went to her one woman show or something, mm-hmm. right? And it wasn't at a bar. It was at that show where I turned the corner and she had, because I didn't invite her to, you know what I mean, the dinner with my manager agent, she drifted apart mm-hmm. from there. And then she met a guy, right? And I caught her with that guy.
Wait, you weren't officially over yet?
No, it was one of those things that we were sleeping together and all that stuff, but we didn't really talk about what we really were.
Oh, then you didn't have to invite her to the dinner then if she wasn't.
No, at that point I should have because we were an item.
Okay. You're being a little bit with fuck boy and vague with your answers. Were you or were you not? Was it just a situationship?
Next video.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
I would say about 2 years ago.
Wait, this guy looks like me.
My wife had planned
same nose.
A surprise LA trip for Valentine's Day. We rented a room, had some ideas what we were going to do. And then right before we were about to leave, she gives me my gift. It was in a little box. And there were these bud chocolates. Like, it looked like marijuana, but they were chocolates, which was dope. And then the second surprise was two tickets to see Bobby Lee on Valentine's Day at the Comedy Store. And me being a comedy fan, it was like a dream come true actually going to the Comedy Store and experiencing it and seeing the names up on the wall. And like even now, I miss it. Even only being there once, and I miss it, you know. But that was my Valentine's story.
The bread chocolates.
Oh.
Here it is.
So weird, is it? Oh, yeah, it's not medicated. Yeah, sure. No, it's this. It's the one. Oh. Oh, no way. No fucking way.
Who are we gonna go see?
I'm missing Bobby Lee.
Let's go, baby.
That's nice.
You are Korean Elvis.
You are the Korean. That's why. Shut up! That's why I wanted to show
that. Shut the fuck up, all right?
Maybe you are Korean.
And you know what you are, babe? You're the Filipino Aaron Sorkin.
There you go.
You always got a fucking.
That's a compliment.
I know. Maybe yeah, I am okay. The Filipino Aaron Sorkin.
That was really nice.
That was really sweet. Really nice. I couldn't stop. He looked so much like me. Like he could be a relative.
It's one of those face things.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
Which comes with people that look like you maybe like me. Maybe is that the thing where people that look like you and I, maybe you like the way I look, right?
Maybe.
And maybe because I'm kind of like Jessica.
You know what? That's a very fair theory.
Right? And then I gravitate toward people that look like you, the cross-eyed with the nose. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah.
Babe, you got cross-eyed with a nose too, baby.
I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Maybe there's something there.
You know,
that we like, that our types of people just like each other.
Let me tell you, when you first met Jessica, it was like long lost siblings reunited.
Yeah.
You guys are the same kind of fiery kind of. You think that's why George also liked Jessica?
Yeah.
And why George also liked you?
Same fascination.
Wow.
But let's be clear, Jessica is like half your size and like 90 pounds. With long hair and way more attractive.
Whoa.
See, that's funny. It's funny that you would throw that in there.
See, that's funny, guys. Yeah, that's comedy.
Yeah. No, fuck you. Fuck you. Okay?
Also, a few
you. Happy Valentine's
Day. Few key differences. Yeah. Project manager for, you know, NASA. You know what I mean? Very, very organized. Very on top of her game. Pioneer in the industry. Oh, very similar to you, a pioneer, Korean Elvis, babe.
Anyway, any
unhelpful advice?
Any other?
Yes, let's do an unhelpful advice.
Babe, let's connect.
No, you attack. You can attack in the connect.
Let's connect.
No, we'll connect later.
Give me.
All right, here.
Babe, for real.
All right, here.
Okay.
You guys good?
Yeah,
we're good.
Okay. Hey, what's up, Slut Kingdom? I've always had a pretty quiet sex life. I lost my virginity at 19, and now turning 25, I've only slept with 4 women, 3 of them one-time things, and the other just twice. I suffer from anxiety issues and struggle to get or maintain a healthy relationship with women I'm attracted to. The women I've been with all have been my type but are out of my league. Combining with the lack of my experience, this has made me feel inadequate in the bedroom and caused my anxiety to get the better of me. This has meant I've always taken too long to ejaculate, no matter how good the sex has been. I'm usually a bit of a hopeless romantic, but I've considered putting myself out there on dating apps to gain some experience and confidence with whoever is willing, but I'm not sure. What do you guys think I should do? Dita Bobby, Dita Kalila.
It's funny because, you know, we've gotten these types of, you know, questions before, emails. And they're generally the same age, right? In their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer always is, you just join the club. I mean, I was in that pocket as well, you know? And it's like, it's what defines you, what you do after this, okay? And sometimes love rejection and not getting what you want is a motivator, for me at least. It drives me into like just going forward and trying to improve my situation, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe, you know, it's a good thing that, you know, right now you haven't found that person. And because what happens? A lot of times, you look at these MTV shows, right, of, you know, kids getting pregnant under 16. What's that show called?
16 and
Pregnant. 16
and, 16 and Pregnant, right?
No, it's Teen Mom.
Or whatever it might be, right? You see, like, in the Midwest, young people in their early 20s, they get married, they have family right away.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the guy's forced into, like, having some job that he doesn't want to do. Like, he's fucking, you know what I mean, throwing hay.
It's a good job.
It's a great job. I'm just saying, I know, but that's what if his dream is to become, you know what I mean, an astrophysicist or something, you know what I mean?
I think they do that in the Midwest too, babe.
No, I'm just, no, what I'm saying is that, God, you're not sitting here what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that, you know, having children or finding the loved one early on isn't necessarily a good thing to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and just
for
because
you to carve out, you know what I mean, your destiny and your future and exploring the world, you know what I mean, is more important than all that other shit.
And let me tell you from experience, just because somebody has fucked a lot of chicks does not make them a great lover.
Yeah.
A lot of times it's usually, I'll give you a little bit of advice in that, or at least a girl like me. If you're insecure about having no sexual prowess or not having a lot of experience, like the one thing that I really love is when guys ask me what I like. Because every person that you come across, what may thrill another one woman may be hated by another. So it's really just like asking like, hey, like how, you know, what do you like? How do you like it? You can't go wrong with that. And it's going to change for every person mm-hmm. that you're with. Because with him, for instance, I had to learn that like he was just going to be a fucking bottom bitch forever. Oh God, take that out. That's so mean.
No, keep it in. I like being a bottom bitch. I like being a bottom bitch. Keep it in.
Stop saying that.
Power bottom then. I should say power bottom.
No. I'm a slow bottom. All right.
You know, babe, that's not true. You were an extremely fast bottom. You just ta-ta-ta, ta-ta-ta-ta.
Okay, let me say something, okay?
He's a quick bottom, yeah.
I used to have a roommate and a friend. I used to be still my friend. His name is Callisto Hernandez.
Oh, poor George.
No, don't cut him out.
But you have to.
Why? I'm going to say good things about him.
Oh, okay.
Okay? He still lives in Silver Lake, right? And so I knew him in my early 20s. Just listen to me, okay?
Yeah.
Callisto Hernandez, look him up. He's in a band. I don't know what it's called. But Hernandez was, he's Hispanic, right? Very handsome. There's just something about them that just women just liked. Mm-hmm. You know who he looks like? Is Richard Ramirez.
Okay, I'm so tired of people saying that Richard Ramirez was attractive. He had the most fucked up mouth, and maybe it's just my fixation on oral hygiene, and that's like taking me out of it.
But imagine Richard Ramirez, right? He had therapy, so he wasn't like a serial killer, right? And he also was friends with an orthodontist.
He has like
right. If those two things, if he had a best friend that was a therapist and a best friend that was an orthodontist, then he would have been a fucking killer in the
okay, Gilbert, you know what? That angle really, really does not help my point here because that was a great model-esque angle.
I put the first one. I was like, okay, he looks like a model.
Show me the teeth.
Give me the model one.
Fucking razor.
Give me the model one.
I'll give you both. Here's the model one.
He has razor clamps for
teeth. Okay, no, just based on that. Okay?
Yes, good lips, good profile.
Based on that, right?
Okay, I'm going to put
Colossus. If I didn't know that he was a murderer, right, I would probably suck that guy's penis.
Okay.
Did
you suck?
Yeah, he looked like a model version of this guy.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
That guy suck your penis.
I would have him suck my penis. All right. Grind it. Okay.
You know how Richard Ramirez, like his thing was, he liked to see the fear in people's eyes.
Yeah.
What would your fear?
What?
So different. These two.
That's two so different.
Yeah. Yeah. Anywho,
Can I
go back to Callisto?
Did he know picture was being taken here? Like, who does that?
This is court. This is him in court.
Has he befriended an orthodontist since?
No, he's not opening his mouth, baby.
Dermatologist, because his skin is impeccable.
Also, that photo right there is like in, it's a mugshot.
Yeah, but who smiles like that in a mugshot?
Who does that in a mugshot? No one's going to do that in a mugshot. Like, zen. No, like mugshots are always.
Yeah, but to be fair.
Yeah, there we go.
Wow.
Yeah. So but great. Still, without the teeth, he's handsome.
I honestly...
Let's go back to Callisto?
Yes, let's go back.
Okay. So he kind of looks like the first version of this, okay?
Yeah.
That guy, all right? So Callisto was the kind of guy where... I'm not kidding you. We would walk into a bar, and women would walk up to him, not even introduce themselves, and start making out with him.
Wow. Maybe I might have. Did he ever go to... Oh, and I'm being serious. Did he ever go to your rustic?
Maybe.
What about the Virgil?
Yes.
Because I definitely have ran my fingers through a very Richard Ramirez type. Like I ran my fingers through someone's hair.
Oh my God, that would be a nightmare.
And I randomly made out. Is the only guy I've ever walked up to and made out with.
Oh my God, you fucking be a nightmare. That would be a nightmare. But anyway, so he was that type of guy. Okay. And imagine me, I couldn't get anybody to even say hello. So I'm walking in with, you know, my friend Callisto. Women are making out with him. And then I'm like, I'm the guy at the jukebox looking through the like songs.
You've done it three times already.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm also the guy that puts the coins in. Who does that?
The only person
I'm putting coins in. I'm going, okay, D12, U2, you know what I mean? Yeah. Whatever it might be. So
that's all I did too.
That's what I did, right? And then here's the second thing I would do. I would go and I'd go, huh, I wonder if they had that that game, you know, on the bar where you could, the photos were like, check out the differences.
Mm.
So I would be the guy just all night playing that game, right? It's like circling or whatever. Like, it's so sad. So, but I used to live with Kalisto, right? Mm-hmm. And we used to have these thin walls, right? And every night would be a different woman, right? And it would be, this is, I swear to God, this is what the sex, oh yeah, this is right when it's, oh yeah, yeah, oh, that's it? And that you would hear the girl go, that's it? And he's sleeping. So I don't think that he was good in the bed. And then, like, I would sometimes see the women in the kitchen and just go, that's it. You know what I mean? That's what he did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, and number two, Kalisto too. Oh, God.
I stopped saying his name. Because first you said we can keep his name in because you're going to say something nice about him.
Yeah, I am saying nice. When we were walking, he was a talent. I'm not done talking. So also, listen, here's how I met Kalisto. Right? In my early 20s.
I'll tell you after this story how I met Kalisto.
Oh.
Did you really meet him?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
So.
No, I don't know.
We don't know that. You said he used to go to your rustic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one time I randomly made out with a guy like that looks like that at the rustic.
If that happened though, oh my God, it would break my heart.
But then afterwards, I made sure, because I sometimes I get blurry vision when I drink. So I asked Jessica afterwards. I was like, hey, dude, was he hot? She was like, dude, he was ugly as shit. So it couldn't have been Kalisto if he was in fact good looking. Because Jessica has confirmed I have, sometimes I just go for it. I like my uggos.
Okay, so anyway, the way I met Kalisto, he was an actor at Balboa Theater, like at the Globe. Like, mm-hmm. He was a legitimate actor, and I went and saw his plays, and he was singing and dancing on stage. It was like a big production, you know. It was beautiful, right? He's a great musician, right? He's in a band, right? He does so many things, but he's the type of guy that would do 12 things at one time. Like, I paint, mm-hmm. right? I act. I'm in a band. I do all these things. And I used to tell him, I used to go, first of all, you drink too much, right? And also, you get way too much pussy, right? Because most of your time is gavalanting around town. You mean trying to get women, right? And you're not focusing on one craft. Whereas when I was living with them, all I did was stand up, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wrote jokes, went to coffee shops. I was living in Silver Lake with them, and this sometimes I would play video games with my brother. But it's like, you know, I would, you know, focus on one thing, and I used to tell him focus on one thing, but he wouldn't. So I think that him getting a lot of women, right, fucked him up. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for listening to Tiger Belly. We'll see you the next time.
Shout out to Kalisto.
Shout out to Kalisto.
Hey guys, hope you enjoyed that Valentine's Day week special. What a interesting one. It's always crazy when it's just Bobby and Kalila and their own thoughts with no guests to interrupt it. Is it not, George?
Yes, it is.
It's just funny, the deep dives of like, I think he did Inception 5 times. When I take a step back again from what just happened, and I take a step back of that and take another step back, am I a good person?
Yes, you are. And I didn't get last place.
That's good. Isn't that great? We both didn't get last place. Shout out to us. And George, where can we go watch that footage they've been talking about?
Patreon.com/TigerBelly.
Cool, guys. And yeah, be on the lookout. That is going to be starting up a little fun cooking competition we'll be doing on there. And also, we'll be concluding our singing competition. This past week, Bobby and Claudia got to actually talk to some of the folks that competed and submitted videos. So that was really fun. So just check that out for vlogs and all your other Tiger Belly extra bonus content over at patreon.com/TigerBelly. Also, guys, I want to thank our sponsors, Roman, for a limited time. Get up to $35 off your first month of ED treatment. Just go to getroman.com/belly to get started. That's getroman.com/belly. And also, get started today at stitchfix.com/belly, and you'll get 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. And if you want to start living a happier life today as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at betterhelp.com/belly. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/belly. And also, HelloFresh, guys. Try America's number one meal kit. Go to HelloFresh.com/10belly. Use the code 10-10-BELLY, B-E-L-L-Y, for 10 free meals. George, do it. You're having a child soon. You don't have time to cook. Get it.
Absolutely.
George, boom. Chibba-boom, George.
Oh, why didn't I grab one for me?
I don't know why. You're literally in the wide. Boom, guys. What I'm holding right here has been in the works for so long because the pandemic decided to slow everything down. And that's okay, guys, because here at Tiger Belly, we push through. We have the official Tiger Belly playing cards.
Oh, when do those come out, Gil?
These will be out soon, actually. Soon. I don't want to put a date. I just want to say a lot sooner than you think. And guess what, guys? Not only is this dropping, this item, there's going to also be some other merch on there as well that you might want to pick up as well. Some classic reprints where we only did a few, and we're only doing a few again. So, guys, there's going to be another merch drop coming in the next, I would say, 4 to 6 weeks. Maybe sooner. Who knows? Just make sure you're following our social media so you know when that happens. Also,
I'm just waiting for the unboxing. You're just going to sit there with it all?
I can't. My hands have a lotion.
Okay.
Okay, they don't.
Next week, we'll open it for you guys, and you'll get to see one
all
card
right. I just
per
feel
week.
So far. Can I get can we get closer on this? What is this? All right.
No, it is close. That's a zoom lens. That's just the cards, Gilbert.
George doesn't trust me. He's triple master on me, guys. All right, so we have this amazing custom Tiger Belly sticker. You peel that off, or take a little envelope knife, which I wish I had, because I don't want to break this. Boom. See, George, that's why we don't do unboxings. Boom. Guys, these are high-quality cards. This is not some, like, small product we were
ooh,
like...
look at that Joker there.
Oh, that's why he won the damn unboxing. The first card, everyone. George, here. Show people what this is.
No, I'm...
No, it's closer. Show people. They need to see this.
It's focused right on you, Gilbert.
Oh, my God. Guys, check this out. The Joker card is yours truly. The only person actually in the deck.
Show them Bobby's photo so we get some sales. Gilbert, we want some sales here. Show them.
No, people need to know George's notes he had on this. Me, Bobby Claw, don't even have our name on it. He's the only one with his full name in the deck. It says George Kim underneath.
Okay, that just went from
we just sold
selling out to selling one to my mom.
Guys, we have some. Let me show you this. Let's go to the order of the least important. Then you get your Jack. You got your Gilbo Jack. You got that large-ass Eddie Bravo head. I still don't understand the comparison, guys. Someone please explain it to me. We also got the...
It's focused on your head, so just hold it beside your head.
Boom. Kalila, your Queen Coloco queen card. Boom. Like that, George? You got that? And everyone's different. Then we also got the one and only Slept King card with the yellow Gucci glasses, your friends. Guys, do not want to get a royal flush with these cards. That's insane. And throw away the Jokers. This is your chance, guys. Tiger Belly playing cards. They've been in production for almost 5 months. Such a high-quality box. So many little like details here on the back. It even says, RIP, Dad. Rest in peace, Papa. Well, nice touch. And, yeah, the artist, Jay Roz, amazing. Amazing artist. We thank him so much. He also does a lot of art for a lot of the MMA brands, so check him out. All right, guys. Well, George, any other announcements you want to make or any shout-outs for any of your peoples in your life, in your world, people that deserve a shout-out, people?
Oh, there's so many, but I'm forgetting right now.
So many. Anything, George? I'm literally giving you the platform.
No, I got to get home to my wife, you know?
And there you go. Doesn't care about other people, only about his wife. I'm just kidding. That's great. We love you guys so much. On behalf of the Tiger Belly team, I'm Gilbert. Make sure you follow Kalila, Calamity K, Bobby at Bobby Lee Live, George at George, _ Kimmel. And if you are a sponsor and you're listening to this, you hit up your boy Gilbert and George so we can take care of that. Let's get you on here. Let's get your product seen on the Tiger Bells. So we love you guys so much. Have a good one. Peace.